Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Today, we're going to focus on it's Friday the 13th of in March. The coronavirus continues to impact all of sports as other places cancel. The Steelers did make a minor update in how they're going to be approaching. Well, I guess it's kind of a major update, so I'll explain what that is moving forward. But it's Mailbag Friday. Because everyone's worried about the coronavirus, I figured, hey, maybe now's the time that we can do a mailbag, have some fun, kick back, have everyone ask some questions. I give my answers on different topics and just see where this goes. Because it's always fun conversations to interact with you all from the Locked On listeners community. So thanks to all those submitted questions. Let's get into it. All right, everyone, happy Friday. I know it's not a happy Friday for a lot of people because there's not a lot of sports going on. You know, hockey's been canceled or at least postponed. March Madness is canceled. That isn't postponed. That is canceled. The NBA is postponed. Like, it's just, it's crazy what's going on with this coronavirus. We're going to get you away from that for a little bit and get into some mailbag questions. But before we do that, got to make a quick update here. I know I talked about how yesterday the Steelers, there was a report from Brooke Pryor saying the Steelers were still going to be traveling to these to different pro days, but they were just going to be taking certain precautions. Now it's coming out that they're not going to even be doing that. They're going to kind of pull out of most pro days, as most NFL teams are starting to do all over the country, as well as colleges even canceling their pro days because colleges are shutting down their campuses. It's crazy what's going on with this coronavirus. Everyone's taking precautions. What appears to be the case, and what we'll continue to keep an eye on, is that teams are going to probably end up relying on the interviews they've already carried out, maybe interviewing players via teleconference, but essentially they're going to be looking at pro players' tape and their combine numbers. And if they didn't run in the combine, they're probably going to end up having to rely on that college tape. Players like J.K. Dobbins, who said, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to run on my own time." That could hurt them in the long run, or it may help the Steelers as a team that doesn't draft until the 49th pick overall. Maybe some teams like, well, they may forget about certain players because they either didn't run well in the combine or didn't run at all in the combine, and people are like, maybe I won't go for that guy. So maybe the Steelers don't address that. Maybe it ends up benefiting them, but there's a long way to go with that. We still don't know how this will go. The NFL is, there's rumors that maybe they'll push back the NFL draft, or the NFL has already said they're not going to push back the next season so far. Lots to talk about there. We don't know. The bottom line is most people don't know how this is going to go. Just yesterday we thought one thing. Today we thought a lot of other things. It's going to continue to change until we get a solid reaction on how this is going to proceed and a plan on moving forward. Not going to dwell too much into that. You guys probably are hearing enough of that from the national media and just from the news in general. This is a podcast about the Steelers, so we're going to talk about the Steelers. And because of that, I wanted to do a Mailbag Friday. And you all delivered. There were several questions, so I'm going to start diving into them for the rest of the show. Let's get into it. So, starting off with the Facebook group, we have Robert Williamson with the first question. If the Steelers take a running back in the second round, do you think that means they'll jump over Connor and Snell or take limited reps and get the job next year? Good question, Robert. I think that Mike Tomlin will approach this like he approaches everything else. He's going to come into camp, not really announce who is the starter. The veterans will be given the benefit of the doubt, but a rookie, if they're outperforming someone, he'll play them. He'll give them the shot. And when it comes to training camp, if a rookie is making people miss, if they do well in those backers drills, if they do well in preseason games, they're going to get the shot to shine. And if they outshine those players, they'll get the shot to play more. Mike Tomlin doesn't hold you back just because of your success. They look for certain keys. And that's the one thing. It's not just about succeeding. It's not just about succeeding in the moment. It's about succeeding at what they're trying to get you to do. If you remember a receiver by the name of Damone Patterson, he was having a phenomenal start to preseason about 2 years ago. And if you were watching the preseason like I was, I thought, man, this guy's got to be a shoo-in. He's killing it in these preseason games. But when I talked to Steelers scouts during training camp, they were telling me, you know what? He's not doing what we're telling him to do. He's making these big plays, but we need him to show us this and to show us that. And, you know, it's great that you're making these plays in preseason, but we don't care about that. We need you to do X, Y, and Z so that you can execute our schemes during the games that actually matter. He didn't do that, and he ended up being cut by the Steelers. So I don't think that a player is just automatically going to jump over them, but if they get one of those top backs that knows how to make players miss and knows how to protect the football, that could end up shaking things up. So I don't think it's out of the question, but I do think they'll have to fight for it at least during training camp. Good question, Robert. Moving to Twitter, this question comes from Adel Burton, who asks, the Steelers are in need of safety depth. What are your targets for this position? Dang, I'm giving you all the good stuff that I could use for my podcast. Oh, well, Adel, thank you for the question. The thing is with safety, it's tricky about where you're picking that position, if you know what I mean, because the Steelers ultimately need to pick offense for those first at least two picks. The second and third round picks, in my opinion, they need to be offense. If someone ridiculous falls to them, like if Grant Delpit or Xavier McKinney falls to the 49th pick, sure. I like Antoine Winfield, but Antoine Winfield is the drop-off at the position that I would not just jump to him if one of those top-tier running backs are there. If you're asking me seriously, Kyle Duggar, senior out of Lenoir Rhyne, he's a guy that jumps off to me as like, you know what, he's 6'1". He's projected to go in the third round. If he falls to with that third compensatory pick, that might be it. He's very explosive. When you look at him on tape, you can see how quick he is. You can see how he stops and starts and gets going. He's got the size to play the safety position. He can challenge tight ends. One thing I really like is his pure athleticism. When you look at the way that he runs, he doesn't have it all there. He played Division II, so obviously that's, you know, not going to translate immediately to the NFL. There's going to be some challenges there. But everything about him shows that he's a guy that everyone at least wants to have a part of their team, because he seems like a guy that's going to work hard. He's going to challenge himself. He's not just going to rely on, hey, I got a contract in the NFL, this is great. But he looks like a guy that can play different roles as a safety. He's not just going to play deep. He's not just going to play in the box. You can move him around and be successful. But again, that's going to require, that's if he falls to the third round compensatory pick. And if he does, you're overlooking maybe some offensive threats that you could get with that pick. But safety depth is a concern for this draft. So I wouldn't be too mad at the Steelers if they made that move. So good question there. This question comes from our Facebook group, Steve Hughes, who asks, what does our perfect scenario of our offensive line look like? Who gets cut or receives limited reps? Well, a perfect scenario, in my opinion, Steve, is everyone's healthy. So you get Pouncey, you get DeCastro, you get Villanueva. Those are your top three right now. You get Finney at left guard, and I think you get either Banner or Okorafor at the right tackle position, because they need a guy who's going to dominate the right tackle position. And you need one of those guys to get mean. Here's the difference. Okorafor, to me, has always been very technical. And when I watched him at Western Michigan, his tape, his feet were always very good. His positioning was always very good. His form was always very good. But he lacked the kill. The killer instinct that you need of an offensive lineman sometime to bury some guy. Often too many times he looked like he just wanted to do his job right. It's good to have that. You know, it's good to have a guy that wants to complete his assignment. But when you're a lineman, you need to want to bury people. You need to want to finish the play emphatically. Not just do your job and block a guy, bury the guy. Put him down and keep him down. Make sure he's not going to... And I know that sounds crazy and dirty with where the NFL is and they're trying to protect players, but you need guys that aren't going to be nice. You're not there. You're not paid to be nice. You're paid to put people away and protect your players. And that's what Okorafor lacks. Now, I think Banner has that, but he still doesn't have the follow-through of the footwork sometimes. And that comes, he's changing as a player. He lost a lot of weight coming into his first season with the Steelers, so he's adapting. I think that he could turn into that. But I also think the Steelers could use to draft somebody at the position to challenge both of them and say, hey, you know what? We're getting a guy that we're thinking is going to change into that position, and maybe that player even pushes Villanueva. So lots of things there that I think could turn around for the Steelers. But with that, I'm going to take our first break here and get right back to your questions right after these messages. All right, we're back here. Let's continue the questions. Zach James on Twitter asks, the offensive line kind of struggled this past year, making it hard to make holes for the running game. Are you concerned heading into next season regarding the line? And to answer your question, Zach, yes, I am concerned because I do think that they're going to need the ground game even more than they've needed the ground game in the recent years that they've had with Antonio Brown on the roster. I think even with Ben Roethlisberger healthy, they'll need a dominant ground game to help balance out the offense. Their receivers right now are still young and developing. I think they need a powerful run game. And part of that could be solved with a running back that makes people miss and protects the football. But part of that also will get solved if the offensive line can gel a little bit. Now, having a quarterback back does help that because Ben Roethlisberger can call out adjustments. He can call the audibles. He can see when the blitz is coming. He's seen when the box is loaded. Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges, not so much. So the offensive line does need to be better. I think that there might be some changes along that line, like I said in the last question. So keep an eye out on that. Whether they sign BJ Finney is a huge storyline, even though most people won't be paying attention to it. If they do, to me it means he's going to be their starting left guard this upcoming year, or at least be the backup center if they draft a guard with their first pick of the draft in the second round. But I think that player is going to be a playmaker with all the guys that are in this draft. Okay, so thanks for the question, Zach. Moving on. Going down the line here, we're going to Dan Hedrick of Facebook, who asks, is running back by committee a feasible option this year? Good question, Dan. Because it's a tough one. If the offensive line returns to its stellar performance, sure, fine. But to me, even when this offensive line was at its top tier, that's when Le'Veon Bell was the running back, and he was making a lot of people miss. I don't think running back by committee is the answer. I think they need someone to step up. And maybe that's James Conner. Maybe that's Benny Snell. It's not Jalen Samuels. I'll tell you that right now. But maybe it's one of those guys, or maybe it's a guy they pick up in the draft. And Jalen Samuels, I think, is a decent back. Like, he gets the job done when nobody's looking for him. But they need a guy who's going to get the job done even when people are looking for him. That's why I highlighted Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU, because there were several times that, like, when they played Alabama, there were times he was keyed up and targeted by Alabama's defense, and he just shook them off. And that's the kind of player they need at the running back position. So I think they need a guy like that to carry the load. And sure, other guys will get carries too, but it needs to be a prime threat. So thanks for the question, Dan. Moving down the line, Thomas Glovier says, Chris, some are saying skill player with pick 49. I know the wide receiver corps are pretty deep in this draft, but I think they should go with the best available offensive player regardless of position except quarterback. Are there enough running backs and offensive line to draft a pick difference maker at number 49? Good question, Thomas. Well, I did a whole chart of this. If I could show you guys the picture of what I did I have like two different whiteboards in my room that I use to draw up stuff all the time. I did a breakdown, and I was looking at how many teams that pick before the Steelers at 49 have a reasonable want with the players on their roster right now for interior offensive linemen, that's center and guards, and offensive tackles, and it was 13 for both. And now, really, it's 14 for interior offensive linemen because the Ravens just lost Marshall Yanda because he retired. So I also looked at how many players I think were worthy targets of that second pick. And there are about 8 guys at either position that I thought, you know what, you know, even if it's a stretch, I think these guys are at least worth that. So, you know, it's very possible that those guys could all be gone by the time this comes up. But man, I really look at this situation and think that the best situation is running back. That's why I'm pushing it. I'm not saying running back because I think that it's the best position overall. I don't think it's because they're married to it. And our good buddy Leo Sell, who's in the Facebook group, I've had some fun threads with him in the Facebook group about this. And again, that's why you should join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. Just search Locked On Steelers in Facebook, and You just ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as possible. You can converse with other Steelers fans. There's hundreds of them in there. And also, you can converse with myself. I respond as best as I can when I have time. But Leo Sells, another loyal listener who always listens and supports the show and comments in the group. And thank you, Leo, for doing that. But he, you know, he's been pushing me for a while now about, you know, that they don't need to take a running back with that first pick. And my point to Leo, and he's understood my point, I think, now after we've seen a lot more mocks, is that I'm not saying running back simply because I want a running back. I'm saying running back because I think that's what's going to be best available. When I look at what teams need out there, I think that there might be two, at the most three teams that pick running backs in this upcoming draft before the Steelers get to their pick. But I look at offensive linemen, I think there could legitimately be 12 or 13 offensive linemen that get selected before the Steelers even pick. So do you want the 14th best offensive lineman, that's really a second or even third tier lineman, joining your team with the first pick this year that you have this year? Or do you want the third or fourth best running back in the draft that could be a dynamic difference maker and help you put points on the board this year? That's why I asked that question. It's not because I'm married to the running back position, but that's just where I think the value will be. Wide receiver, I think they will continue to be value later in this draft. That's why I'm not jumping all over it. As far as tight end, well, there's a few questions that we'll ask that actually later, so that's why I'm not going to answer that right now. But continuing down the line here, back to Facebook, we got Dezo Farkas. Dezo asks, what's up with Tua? I haven't heard about him for a while, and how does his recovery potentially change our strategy for Dupree? I think Dupree's, the pure strategy of signing Dupree, it depends on CBA. CBA gets signed, I think Dupree's going to get signed. If CBA doesn't get signed, he gets tagged, and, well, we see how that plays out. But for Tua, everything I've read and everything I've seen and heard from people around the organization is that he's on track to recover this year. He'll be fine. It was just a rough injury that was unfortunate, and they had to sideline him. He got his surgery done, and he's going to be recovering and ready to go by training camp. So good question, Dezo, because Stephon Tua, in my opinion, is an underrated, important player for this season. We got Jojo P from Twitter, at Peter Baxis 3, who asks, with so much being said about the lack of cap space, would you consider not signing Dupree or placing the tag on him as well as other cuts? Other cuts are definitely part of the situation right now. Even if the CBA gets approved, I see Anthony Ciccolo and Ramon Foster being gone, most likely Mark Barron as well. There might be more picks. If the CBA doesn't get approved and the Steelers don't get any additional draft space, I said this a while ago, I think that Vance McDonald was a lock to stay with the team, but if they get no extra draft space, then his job is in trouble. I simply believe that Vance McDonald will stay on the team because they need a starting tight end, and because I thought they would get a little bit more draft space or a little more cap room space to operate. But with what's going on with that, that could be different. As far as Dupree, I think that tagging Dupree or signing Dupree is going to happen either way. And he's going to be on the Steelers in 2020. Now, if they get a CBA deal done, maybe that means he'll be here long term. But he's at least coming back to the Steelers this year. That much I am for certain. Good question, Jojo P. Back to Facebook. Going to Jake Vasil, I apologize if I mispronounce anyone's name in this show, but Jake asks, do you foresee a scenario in which we carry four running backs and six wide receivers and three quarterbacks? I know we ended up needing that this year, but with how thin we are at safety and other positions, I wonder how we manage this team, even with a 55-man roster. Good question, Jake, because the proposed CBA, you know, allows for maybe the expansion of a roster to 55 guys, which would allow the Steelers to keep a few more guys on the roster. But that's really just two more guys. So, you know, who do the Steelers get to keep? You assume it would probably also go from 48 to 50 guys that are allowed to be active on game day and not put on the inactive list. I think that they keep Nicks and three backs. Maybe a fourth if they want a guy for special teams. If they keep six, I have a hard time seeing keeping six receivers again. I see the top three, Juju, Washington, Deontay. Deion Kane will probably be in that mix, and maybe a draft pick. but I don't think they keep Ryan Switzer this year. I know he's Ben's guy, and like I've literally been told to my face that he's Ben's guy, and that's why he's been being kept. But I think that they're going to take a harder look at the roster this year and try to take more precautions as far as what talent they actually need on the roster. And I think they're also going to add at least a third presence on the quarterback roster, on the quarterback list, that has NFL talent, either an arm or mobility or something. But just something that someone that brings a little bit more than Devlin Hodges. So good question there, Jake. Back to Twitter. Got BJ Pugh, who asks, more like Lockdown Steelers, am I right? Ha-ha, BJ, you're hilarious. But no, seriously, actually, Lockdown Steelers is, that might be the saying for the secondary. Are they the Lockdown Steelers? BJ, you may be onto something there. We'll return to that at some point during the season. Are they the Lockdown Steelers? There'll probably be a poll about that. Anyways, I'm going to stick with Twitter here. Going to Jack. Jack asks on Twitter, would the Steelers be better served not tagging Dupree? Are there other mid-range free agents and edges out there for less? I am concerned that he will become the next Lamar Woodley. Seems like 16.5 mil could be used to plug a bunch of holes. Well, that's kind of what they did this last free agency, right? They got Steven Nelson, they got Mark Barron, they wanted the lockdown player, they got Dante Moncrief, they got players, and it's funny because it looks like only one of those guys is going to stay, but that's also why they handed them deals that were favorable to the Steelers after the first year of those contracts. Yeah, I could see them trying to solidify other positions, but I think Bud Dupree, they really value the edge rusher position. And with TJ Watt and Bud Dupree, they know they have a dynamic duo there and a potentially a legendary front with if Tuitt and Hayward can be healthy for an entire season along with those two guys. So I hear you on the worries about Lamar Woodley, because the Steelers, for those who don't know, the Steelers signed Lamar Woodley to a ton of money back in the late 2000s, and he was great. He averaged a sack and a half in his first like 3 or 4 years in the playoffs, but then he started pulling his hamstring, he started getting hurt all the time, and then it really set the Steelers back for years because he had a ton of dead cap space because they really thought he was the next superstar at edge rusher for them. And the injuries just derailed his career, and it really set the team back and Kevin Colbert back as far as what investments they could make. I don't think Dupree is that, because if you look back at his past 3 seasons in the NFL, he played all 16. He started and played all 16 games this year. He played all 16 games last year, and started all but one game. And then the year before that, he played and started all but one game in 2017. So through 3 years, he's only not started 2 games, and he played in all but 1 game. So I look at that, and I think Bud Dupree's fine. He's not going to be Lamar Woodley right now. Until I start seeing those injuries, then I'll consider that. But I don't think he is that right now. I think he's earned his contract. All right, with that, we're going to take a quick break here. I'll be right back answering more of your questions on this Mailbag Friday. All right, back here and getting to your questions. Got a question from Fernando Hidalgo, who asks on Facebook, the future with no Ben looks pretty bad. What should the Steelers do in the next months and years to avoid years of mediocre quarterbacks? Well, I'm not sure if there's anything you can do right now because they're kind of locked in at Ben Roethlisberger. And unless they picked a quarterback in the second round, and even with that, I don't think they'd get a top-tier quarterback. It might take signing a guy in free agency. There's a lot of guys that are moving around the league right now. And depending on a strong ground game as well as a strong defense to get them where they need to go. And then say, like, you know, we'll get a quarterback that can make plays here and there, but, you know, won't be a superstar. That might be the move, because, you know, it's tough to imagine this team falling in back into the top 10 to get a quarterback. So that's where I stand on that. I think it's just going to take them kind of working with a mediocre quarterback after Ben's gone. Maybe they draft a guy and get lucky in the later rounds, and he pushes Mason Rudolph and takes over the starting position and becomes a playmaker. And maybe that guy's Jalen Hurts. But right now, I think the Steelers are they're more concerned right now about these next 2 seasons with Ben Roethlisberger than anything else. So, thank you for the question, Fernando. Moving forward, we've got Flawless West from Twitter asking, what are the possibilities we could see a trade in the draft for more picks, moving up a little in the second, or even trading a player and a draft pick to get a late first round rounder or an early second round pick? Well, if you're trading for more picks, that's trading back. So, and I don't think that they're going to ever do that. If they're trading up, they're going to, you know, they have a second round pick, a third round pick, and 2 4th round picks. That's 4 picks in the top 135. Maybe they use that. I think you're looking at a 1% chance the Steelers trade up in this draft. I think they're going to deal with what they got and try to develop depth around those picks. I don't think there's any chance they get a first rounder. Maybe they move up in the second round to get someone that they're really eyeballing. But and that I'd give a lot higher of a chance than a first round pick appearing, but I'll entertain the idea of a second round pick because the Steelers might want to capitalize on someone they really like. So there's that. Moving back to Facebook, Bill Sinclair asks, do you think the Steelers will double dip this year at positions of need and desire or simply fill in gaps for depth? With a strong receiver class, even though it's not a need, do they go to the well more than once if it's just too good of a prospect to pass up? The Steelers always draft best player available unless they're very desperate for a position. Depth safety, running back, and maybe a depth wide receiver and maybe a tight end. Those are all maybe situations like that, but none of those positions are starter issues except maybe running back. So I don't think that they're in any desperation mode there, Bill, to fill in. But now I do think that'll happen in the middle rounds. You'll see some picks there, but as far as with the second round pick, I think they're going to be more reserved with how they operate there. Back to Twitter, looking at Pierce, who asks, considering the fact that Minka wants to be used in a more versatile role and the fact that Sean Davis probably won't be a hot commodity in free agency, do you think it would be realistic and or wise to keep Davis and let him play some free safety and let Minka roam? I think that if Sean Davis doesn't want to risk the safety market that's been rough for the past couple years, it would make a lot of sense for him to sign back with the Steelers for maybe $1 million or two. And take that money, show everyone that you're healthy, and then try again free agency next year. Because right now, you're an unhealthy safety that's young, that didn't really shine with the Steelers, and you might not get paid a whole lot after that. But if you have a big year with the Steelers, and you might have that with Terrell Edmonds and Minka Fitzpatrick back there along with that pass rush, maybe that sparks some conversation and you get another shot at free agency the next year. So I see it reasonable to think that Sean Davis would want to stay with the Steelers, and I've brought that up on this show multiple times. So good question there. John Fletcher on Facebook asks, do you think a big factor in Dupree's rise has been attributed to the Steelers moving on from Joey Porter? I remember last year in an interview, it basically revealed that Tomlin went up to Bud mid-2018 season and said, Bud, just be you. Most people will remember that in the second half of 2018, Bud Dupree was a much better player than he was the first half, and when obviously we got the outstanding 2019, do you think this is because the Steelers moved on from Joey Porter and let Butler just deal with the linebackers? John, this is a great question because I was the person that asked Bud Dupree that! And he actually revealed to me, he was the one to say, Coach T, he told me to do what I do. And I love Bud. I mean, just anytime you talk to Bud, you know, you're hearing from Bud, not some picked out statement that's been worked on or practiced. He is giving you authentic Bud Dupree. One of the funniest moments of Bud Dupree, for me was, in training camp. There's one time, you know, when you're working training camp, you know, there's the players are on the field and then they have to walk up the hill past where all the autograph lines are. And then once they get through the autograph lines, they have their residence hall. And then there's the cafeteria above the residence hall. But for writers, you're either staying on across the campus or you're not staying there at all, like me, because I'm a poor young writer. So I have to walk that hill and then get back to my car on the complete other side of campus and then drive for an hour to get home. But But when you're going, I was going up this hill one day, and I eat my dinner at the cafeteria. I'm coming back down the hill, and there's always these carts that only players get to ride, but players are not supposed to drive them because it's against policy. And as I'm coming down the hill, I see Bud Dupree driving one of them, and I'm like, I just start laughing, and he sees me, and he just puts up the shh sign, like saying, "I don't tell nobody, he's supposed to eat." And I was like, "I got you, Bud." And it was just, well, apparently I don't got him because I just spilled the beans. But I hope he doesn't get in trouble from anyone listening to this live. On Steelers podcast, so don't spill the beans on Bud Dupree, y'all. No snitching. But do I think Bud was that a change? Absolutely. I don't blame Joey Porter. I think that he's just a different kind of player than Bud Dupree. Joey Porter was of the old guard of Steelers, like Jason Gilden. They were converted defensive ends who learned how to be edge rushers and linebackers that could do multiple roles for the Steelers. Now the Steelers want more athletic linebackers that sort of just handle that edge position but also drop into coverage. I think that Joey's just, it's a different game for him nowadays. And if he wants to be a coach for that, he has to take on a different role. I do think that Joey Porter has the right idea for some things. I think that he has the motivation to be a coach. But just the way that he taught wasn't what they needed at this point in time. So, good question, John. Moving back to Twitter, Steelers Drew asks, love the show. Thanks, Drew. Keep up the good work. Thanks again, Drew. But he's got two questions. Oh, you got two questions. Oh, my God. First, what are the two things you think the Steelers prioritize and players they draft, and the one thing that they don't? 2-1? What are you doing to me, Drew? And then also, who is your favorite Raven of all time? Hard last question, I know. Gosh. Ugh, Drew, you're killing me, buddy. All right. Two things that I think the Steelers prioritize is, one, you need to have production in college. You can't just be a nobody. You got to show me that you can produce, and not just put up big stats, but show me that you can win matchups. If they win matchups, the Steelers notice that on the film, and they'll take that and they'll move forward with that. Second thing, they want good attitude. They are tired. They do not want to have players that are going to cause problems in the locker room. They want guys who are going to either step up and be leaders or challenge themselves to be better. One thing they don't want, I guess, the lack of work ethic. They don't want guys that are like the Paxton Lynches. Like for example, the Paxton Lynches was the Steelers right now because they paid nothing to get him. But the Broncos drafted him in the first round despite reports being out there that he didn't have the best work ethic in the world. Broncos were like, we could change that. They never did. And now they've already wasted their first round pick. So there's that. Now to the second question of yours, who's my favorite Raven of all time? Ew. What are you doing, Drew? Who's a favorite Raven? Yeah, so wash my hands of you. All right, if I had to pick one, this is tough. I'm inspired by Ray Lewis because he's one of the greatest inside linebackers of all time. I'm inspired by Ed Reed because he's a ball hawking safety, and you do appreciate the way they talk trash, like those that made the rivalry so much better. Like, you hated them but you loved them at the same time. Like, oh, I hate you but you're cool. And I know some Steelers fans are like, what are you saying, Chris? But you respect that. I mean, right now it's Lamar Jackson, because I told everybody that Lamar Jackson was going to be the man, and no one believed me. I was told that Lamar Jackson's too stupid to read a book, let alone a defense. That's literally a comment I received when I wrote about Lamar Jackson before he was drafted, and I was like, whoa, that's extreme. And I received a lot of people that thought, like, oh, he's going to be too dumb to play in the NFL, and here he is, your NFL MVP. I guess right now it's Lamar Jackson. All time, I guess it's Ray Lewis. I don't. I mean, he's a great player. Whatever you think about him off the field, the guy's a great leader on the field, and he's one of the best promotional speakers without ever saying anything. Like, Ray Lewis would always have those speeches you'd see on YouTube and be like, man, he got them amped, or look at how the players love him. And then at one point during Ray Lewis's career, Joe Flacco was like, honestly, I don't think Ray is actually saying anything. I just think he's just good at saying nothing. And then more of what Ray was talking about, what Ray would always speak on, was kind of revealed. And that kind of opened up what Joe was saying. Like, yo, Ray really doesn't say a whole lot. He says it with so much power and enthusiasm, and we all believe it, and it makes you want to be better. So I guess Ray Lewis for that, because that is fun. Though the Ravens do have several great players in their organization. They've been a great rival. That's part of what makes a great rivalry. It's not just being close. It's, you know, being competitive. All right, moving forward. CJ Rosencrans on Facebook asks, with our depth needs and depth of this draft, do you think trading back from our second pick to get more picks would be a good idea? CJ, good question. I don't think it's a good idea. Why? Because the Steelers already don't have a first round pick. They're trading back. They're most likely losing their second round pick and going into another pick in the third round. I think their biggest thing is they need to use that top 50 players, that pick that's at the edge of the top 50 players, and get a playmaker from that group. Now, maybe they trade back with that third round compensatory pick, and maybe they pick up an extra fifth round or something. If someone's really desperate, but I just don't think trading back is the answer. But I understand where you're coming from because they do have a lot of depth concerns. Moving forward, Pierce on Twitter asks, you talked about on a recent show how you don't see Cole Kmet as a good early pick. Do you see any tight end worthy of the Steelers' first pick? I personally am set on picking a running back with that pick, but I'm curious about the tight end plans. Good question, Pierce. My answer is no. None of the tight ends are worth the Steelers' 49th overall pick. They all have questions about blocking or receiving or being an overall player. This is just not the year to draft tight end. And this isn't every year. You know, tight ends, generally, you want to give them more time to adapt to a system. But especially this year, I am just very skeptical about how any of these guys are going to adapt to the NFL and be very good players right away, let alone over time. So I just, no, I'm not picking a tight end at all. I'm sticking with running back simply because I think that's where the Steelers will get the best value. But good question, Pierce. Moving forward, Jake Cridge on Facebook asks, in a world where Ben cannot get healthy enough to play up to his standard and decides to retire in the offseason, I mean, 2020 has been pretty rough, so why not? But what would be the best ways to utilize the money saved on his expensive contract? Oh, they're not getting that money back. But would we look to sign free agents like offensive playmakers, a somewhat big-name quarterback, or simply spread it around to re-sign our current players that our current cap situation is not allowing us to? Well, okay, first of all, they're not getting that money back for Ben. That money's going to be his. But if you want to fantasize about what they could do, the Steelers would go out and get a veteran quarterback. You know, maybe they'd even spend that money. Like, say if they got all that money back, yeah, sure, they might go get Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers. Who knows? I think that a Teddy Bridgewater would attract them. But yeah, they're not doing that. You know, and they'll spend the rest of the money to address other depth positions. They'll really focus on running back. I think they might even try to get like a player like Melvin Gordon or you know, maybe try to steal Derrick Henry from the Titans and then just say, hey, you know what? We're going to go with him, our offensive line, our receivers, and we'll get a very mediocre quarterback, and just live with that. So, you know, but again, that's all fantasizing. I don't think there's any way that they don't end up paying Ben even with all the other stuff. Back to Twitter. Nick Kerr asks, what are the odds we scoop Jimmy Graham from free agency? Also, y'all hiring at DK Pittsburgh Sports, LMAO. Nick, funny question. But first question, odds, I'd say 1 to 50. They're not paying Jimmy Graham. He's been hurt up. He hasn't been consistent. The guy just had Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, and he wasn't delivering all the time. And he's older, and I think he's going to get pursued by other teams and maybe even get an expensive contract. That part the Steelers don't want any part of. As far as hiring at DK Pittsburgh Sports, actually we are. So public service announcement, if you are a young sports writer or a person that has experience in managing social media, reach out to me on Twitter, DM. Do not put this on my profile, on my timeline. You don't want to just put all that information out there about yourself. But if you're a person that has experience writing, and not just I'm saying like writing your own personal blog, if you're in journalism school, if you've been to journalism school, or if you've studied for a bit, or if you've written for a blog for several years, reach out to me. Dejan Kovacevic, my boss, is looking for a young sports writer who's willing to kind of hustle and help us manage the day-to-day stories that sometimes happen with sports. It's a great company. We just had our 5th year anniversary this past year. So we're coming up on our 6th year anniversary soon. So if you're actually interested in that, reach out to me, and I'll do my best to help to see if I can help you get something with our organization. It wouldn't just be about the Steelers. You'd probably be focusing on all sports because we need someone that's more so helping manage all the news that's coming in to the website. So, I know you probably were expecting that to just be laughed off, but hey, sometimes you get it. Sometimes you hit a home run there, Nick. Going back to Facebook, and that was the end of our Twitter questions, so we're going to be sticking to Facebook here. Scott J. Johnston asks, what will it cost to have Tony come back full time? let me answer this in the words of a famous actor. $1 million. No, just to answer for Tony. He's got a lot going on, y'all. He didn't leave because of any problems with me or any problems with Locked On. He just left because he's engaged. He just got a promotion at his full-time job. He needs to focus on things that allow him to focus on those things. This podcasting stuff, this takes hours of work and preparation and thinking about it and planning and recording and editing. It's a lot to do. So Tony didn't leave because of anything like that. It would take Tony to get a significant raise here so that he didn't have to work another job. And unfortunately, that's not what's going on in the podcast game right now. So, good question, but appreciate the question there. I miss Tony as well. He's fun to have on the show. That's why I made sure he's coming back for all the Tony Tuesdays. John No asks, Chris, what can we realistically expect from Justin Lane this year towards his ultimate goal of being a starting outside corner for the Steelers? Realistically, you want Justin Lane to be a very good gunner on special teams this year. He looked pretty good when he was in there. When Artie Burns started to struggle, they put him in there, and he actually looked like he was pretty good. If he covers punts really well, if he gets down the field, makes some tackles, that's what would be good to see because that shows he can focus on specific roles that he's assigned. As far as outside cornerback, there's going to be a time where Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson goes down, and there's going to be a time where he's probably challenged to come up and make some plays. Gonna just need him to be that person to make those plays. So it sounds simple, but that's really what it is. I look at him and I'm just like, Justin Lane, he's a bigger cornerback. He's a better tackler. He's gonna be more physical. I think that there's a chance that he could do well in the NFL, but it's going to be about his work ethic and how seriously he takes the job. I think he took year one very seriously, so he's on his way. But let's see how he does coming back into camp. Moving forward, Fred Salazar. We still got a few questions here, so I'm going to try and get through these a little bit quicker because we're already over 40 minutes for the show. But Fred Salazar asks, if the Steelers are chosen for Hard Knocks, do you think that any of our younger talents, particularly wide receiver or running back, would adopt a diva-like attitude persona that could become disruptive and after the show leaves? I don't think that the show would bring that out. I think if it's going to be there, it's going to be there. But I don't think the show's going to bring it up, Fred. But important question because the Steelers have been dealing that with Le'Veon. But I'm sorry. Sorry, Le'Veon. I wasn't talking about you. I was just thinking about Antonio Brown. And you just came up. But the Steelers dealt with that with Antonio Brown. I don't think that's going to be anything there. But if a player does that, it's because it's already there. If anything, the Hard Knocks just might expose it. The Steelers are very good at hiding stuff. There's stuff that I've learned that have happened over the years that we never knew about. And it's stuff that I can't tell you because it's been told to me in secret. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to betray this person's trust. But just know that there are things that happen with every NFL team that you will never know about. Because there are players that just do things that professional teams get ahead of. And they just have their guys that they know how to protect them. And stop bad things from getting to the media. And this isn't like murder or anything, but it's like, lighter things. Like, hey, this guy might have hurt this doing something stupid. Maybe they're playing basketball and they tweaked an ankle. We're going to cover that part of it up. We're just going to say, hey, his ankle's hurt. Don't want to expose him for anything where the media can like lean into him. So as far as Hard Knocks, I don't think it's going to happen because the Steelers are doing the Hall of Fame game. But if it did happen, I think the Steelers would be very rigid about it. I think they would actually be like, all right, because you saw how crazy the Browns looked on Hard Knocks. I think the Steelers would be much more organized. They'd be like, all right, listen, all you guys, you better not make us look bad. And I think they would be very ready for it because they're one of the better organizations about handling all things with media. I think that they would be extra prepared. They'd probably get there even earlier this year for training camp. I'm talking about the staff-wise, to make sure that none of the players and none of the coaches and none of the scouts say anything or do anything that would cause drama. And I think, honestly, they would make it so boring for HBO that HBO would never want to go back. So there's that. But good question, Fred. Oh, Fred has a follow-up here, apparently. Also, will we celebrate when you win? How will we celebrate when you win the March Madness tournament you're in? All right, I'll put it this way, y'all. And if you don't know, I'm in the Media March Madness, Pittsburgh Media March Madness tournament. I'm in the second round right now. I was a 16 seed. I upset a 1 seed. I'm winning against an 8 seed right now. But if I go all the way, it's a good question, Fred. If I go all the way, what will I do? Now, it's tough because it's not like I'm on video. I can't, like, look stupid for you guys because, you know, it's a costume. I wouldn't come over via podcast. I'll say this, and let me know. Someone start a poll for me in the Facebook group once you hear this podcast. Let me know if this is acceptable. I'm willing to do... I'll put it this way. If I'm in the championship round in the Pittsburgh Media March Madness bracket and I win, I will take one shot for every percentage point I beat the person in the championship round by. So that means if I win 51% to 49%, I'll take two shots of like tequila or something. Not Jägermeister. That's the one thing I will not do. You crazy people that drink Jäger, you are crazy. But I'll do it before a show or during a show. In fact, no, that's the rule. That's my bet that I'm putting forward to you guys. If you find it unacceptable, just put up a poll. Tell me that's not what you want. We'll find a punishment or a celebration for me. But if I'll do a show in which I have to take X amount of shots of tequila or something crazy to and finish those shots, so it becomes kind of a wackier show. I might even have Tony come on and kind of edit the show because, I mean, if I win by like 10 percentage points, whew, I'm going to be rough. So that's what I propose, Fred. Someone start that Facebook poll in the poll in the Facebook group. Go to Locked On Steelers in Facebook, search that, and I'll add you as soon as possible. Who knows, if you guys vote on that, I will agree to do it. If I win the March Madness, that means you guys got to vote. So go on my profile at Carter Critiques on Twitter to go vote for me in the Pittsburgh Media March Madness. Voting for this round ends, I believe, on Monday. So moving forward, Matt Shrum asks, how do you feel about Mason Rudolph and if he's becoming Landry Jones? And Dezo Farkas came in and said, that's more for Tony Serino. I think Mason Rudolph is kind of on that route. It's funny because they're both Oklahoma guys. You know, Landry Jones played Oklahoma. Mason Rudolph played Oklahoma State. Both are Big 12 dudes that look decent in college, but you know, you questioned if that would translate well, and it didn't really translate well for either. Now, I'll say this, I think Mason Rudolph has had a much better start to his career than Landry Jones. If you remember Landry Jones' first play in preseason, the ball was snapped right to him. He bumbled the snap, went over his head, and then into the end zone. He barely picked it up and then was sacked for a safety. I mean, it was just a disaster. Mason Rudolph is not that bad. But Mason Rudolph still has a lot of problems. I don't think he's the long-term answer right now. I don't think it's fair to judge him and say there's no way he could turn into that. But I also don't think it would be smart to bank on him moving forward as to definitely be the heir to Ben Roethlisberger. So to answer your question, I do feel that he's becoming the Landry Jones, that he's more of a backup guy with an arm, and that will be able to fill in occasionally and help you out. But do not count on him to carry the franchise. Moving forward, we got Patrick Quigley, who asks, what would it take for us to get a first-round pick within reason? Dan Hedrick jumped in there and said it's not feasible. I kind of agree with Dan on this. I don't think there's anything the Steelers could really do that's feasible to get a first-round pick. They would need to do something drastic, like trade Minkah Fitzpatrick for a first-round pick, which you absolutely would not do. And maybe if they packaged, you know, their second-round pick with the third compensatory pick and a player like Juju Smith-Schuster, maybe then a team would consider. But even then, it would be like a very late first round pick, and I'm not sure if you'd want that. I don't see it happening. It would take a lot of work and a lot of weight and some very extremely impressive negotiating skills to pull that over. Listen, the Steelers got their first round pick. It's Minkah Fitzpatrick. Don't sweat it. They're fine. All right. Bryden Wiggins asks, prioritize your position groups by value. What position would we target with our first pick? Example, if running backs are left, don't match the value that are left, don't match the value that the second round pick, we should target safety or offensive line and so on. Bryden, I understand where you're going with this, buddy, but this is that's tough to do because you don't know what else is left, right? Like if offensive line's gone, then you're going to running back. But if running back's gone, do you go to safety if there's also the unequal amount of player there at wide receiver or defensive line or something like that? If we're talking about a second round pick, my priorities are this. Offensive line, if you can get a top tier guy, then running back, then wide receiver. I just don't think tight end's even there. If one of those top quarterbacks, for some reason, like if Jordan Lund just falls down to you, sure, why not? But there's no way he does. I'm saying that now. Don't even waste your time thinking about it. And after that, I guess safety, interior defensive lineman, maybe an off-ball linebacker, that would be it. But running back, linemen, people that are going to contribute right now, and especially players that can help add touchdowns on the board. When you scored 9 touchdowns in your last, 8 games, that's not good. So, but a good question, Bryden. Fred, how many questions you got, my man? Fred asks, If Ben struggles this upcoming year, assuming that there's a season, is there a chance the Steelers sign a captive quarterback, like possibly a Derek Carr type, instead of drafting a quarterback, especially since even without Ben, they still don't get super high draft picks? If Ben stinks this upcoming year, retires, would they sign someone? Yes, but I agree that it would probably, because I agree, I don't think they would fall too far in the standings to get a superstar, but also depends on how this next quarterback draft looks, right? Because if it changes everything, who knows? Maybe they feel like, hey, we can get our guy in the middle of the first round next year. So lots of stuff there, Fred, but ultimately, I'm not putting it past the Steelers to think that they're going to, that they're not going to have something in place, at least a plan to attack the quarterback position whenever Ben's done. I don't think they're just going to fold up their chips and say, well, we tried, and be done for the next few years. Moving forward, last question, actually. Ho-ho, we made it, y'all! Oh, actually, no, we got one more question after this. But Joab Desilmar, sorry if I messed up that name, man. It's late. Comparison between Grant Delpit versus Paris Ford, and do we have a shot at either player? Derek Stingley, which I know we could never get, but oh my God, what a talent. Okay, first of all, Paris Ford is not in this draft. Now, if you don't know who Paris Ford is, that means you're not a Pitt fan. Shame on you. But Paris Ford was Pitt's top safety. He does look like a stud. He does look like a heck of a player, but he's going back to Pitt this year to continue to develop his talents. I think that he would be great as a Steeler, but also they've got 2 first-round safeties on their roster right now. That's just they're fine. They're not gonna do that. I don't think they're picking a safety with their second overall pick. Now if Grant Delpit falls, now Grant Delpit originally was a top 5 player going into this year. His injuries and problems on the field, and he didn't run well at the combine, those have dropped him to look more like a back end of the first round or maybe top end of the second round type of player. If he falls to 49, I would seriously consider it, because him with Edmonds and Fitzpatrick would pose an interesting threat on defense, but the offense really needs help. That's why I think that's going to be considering. As far as Derek Stingley Jr., just don't dream, y'all. I mean, the Steelers would have to stink really bad for them to get that guy, because here's the thing. If you don't know who he is, he was LSU's like star cornerback this past year, and he was a freshman that was taking over the secondary. He was very good. Whenever he does come out in the league, which may be in 2 years, he's going to be a top 10 pick, unless something happens to him. If he gets hurt, Grant Delpit was a top 5 pick until this year. But if all goes according to plan, the Steelers would have to have some really bad seasons or make some really big trades to get up and get a shot at him. But he is such a talent. So you're absolutely right there, Job. But if Grant Delpit had if the Steelers have a shot at Grant Delpit, I would seriously consider, passing on an offensive player for Grant Delpit, because he is that good. Okay, so there's that. I had one more question. I had someone ask it. It fell outside. It was on Twitter. Okay, last question goes to BossDog69. Nice. On Twitter, who asks, what do you think about drafting Chase Claypool at 49? Dude runs like a wide receiver and blocks like a tight end. Good question. Chase Claypool is interesting. But, I think that you can get him in later rounds, potentially even with that third round compensatory pick. He is big. He is fast. But there's a lot of guys who are fast this year. There's a lot of guys who could produce and be a playmaker on the offensive side of the ball. I wouldn't go and get Chase Claypool. I'd prefer actually Denzel Mims at that position if they can get him. But if and that's specifically at 49. Now, if we're talking about at 102 with that third round compensatory pick, yeah, I might consider Chase Claypool there. I think he's a heck of a player. They need offensive playmakers, and he looks like a guy that could bust open a defense. So that's that question. Thanks for the question, Boss Dog. And thanks all of you for asking the questions. We made it. We got through a mailbag. This is my first ever mailbag by myself. All by myself. So we made it. Thanks for all the questions, and appreciate all those people who reached out on the Facebook group or Locked On Steelers. If you missed your chance to ask questions, I apologize, but get on it next time. I'll probably do one another month or so, maybe like right before the draft. That's what we'll do. That makes a lot of sense there, Carter. Good idea. Thanks to all those who made it. We made it to the weekend, y'all. It's Friday. You're finishing up your last day at work for the week. Hope you had a good week. Hope you're staying safe out there. Keep washing your hands. Keep drinking water. You know, make sure you just keep an eye on things that you touch with all the coronavirus stuff going on, and just be safe. It's not as bad as you think, but you do need to be careful out there. For all those people who are, who might still try to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, they canceled the parade in Pittsburgh. Just be careful out there. You know, again, just be careful of, you know, who you're hanging out with, what, you know, where your hands are going, where you're putting your hands, and if you're touching your mouth with your hands, all that good stuff. Again, if you're enjoying the show, please hit the subscribe button on it if you haven't already. With Locked On Steelers, we are Monday through Friday. All the Steelers talk that you can ask for, as you can see, because this is a very long show that I'm recording right here. We are getting close to an hour. As far as finishing out the show, please leave a 5-star review if you get the chance. If you leave a 5-star review and a positive comment, I will read your comment on air. Thanks to all those who already have. Again, follow me on Twitter @CarterCritiques and vote for me in the Pittsburgh Media March Madness bracket. You can find that voting poll on Twitter, on my Twitter page @CarterCritiques. Follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me with a DM, hit me with an @. Always down to chat with you guys. And again, join that Facebook group so you can join in these type of polls. We got Mock Draft Monday next Monday, y'all. So if you missed out on this last contest, go to one of the draft websites, thedraftnetwork.com. Submit a mock draft, get a snapshot of it, post it in the comment section under the Facebook post that I'll make tomorrow morning. And then I'll have a contest. Whoever has the best mock draft, I will reveal that winner on the Monday episode of Locked On Steelers. Until then, have a great weekend, y'all. I will catch y'all soon.